Begin the current daf, Masech Tzivachim, daf Samach Beis. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara was discussing the difference in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach from the time to the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash when Ezra and the diaspora came up from Golas Babel to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlem Abayis, we could understand that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly who explained that on the top of the summit from the previous daf, that they knew how to interpret a pasuk, that Shlomo HaMelech, although he knew the pasuk, did not interpret the extent of the dimensions of the Mizbeach, and therefore that was one of the interpretations, how they extended the Mizbeach in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, although the pasuk says that every dimension is exacting from the command of Hashem. So we could understand that the Beis HaMikdash itself, the temple, has the sanctity of the courtyard, the Azar, what is the sanctity of the Heichel, because Minkar Rutsarasai, that when they came back after Golas Bavel, after the 70 years, they were able to recognize the form, the positioning of where the foundations of the walls were in the ground, so they knew that dimensions. El Mizbeach Menoyadi, but where did they know, although he said that they knew the dimensions, but how did they know the place where it was, where they were supposed to build the Mizbeach? So Amr Reb Elazar says, Ra'u Mizbeach Banu. They saw, they had a vision of a built altar, U'michoil Hasar HaGadol, and the great minister, that of the angel Michal, was Eimid HaMakor Lov, was standing and sacrificing on it. That's how they knew where the place of the Mizbeach was. Another interpretation from Yitzchak Nafchamer, he says, a forish al Yitzchak, Ra'u Shemonach Ba'isei Makam. They saw the ashes of Yitzchak that were laying over there in that place. Because that was the vision of Avraham Avinu by the Kedah, by the Nisayin that he had to burn his sacrifice his son, which was on the place of Hamariah, which was in the place of where the Beis HaMikdash was. That was the place, and therefore Hashem has it as if there's the ashes of Isaac over there. That's what they saw. They knew that was the place of the Mizbeach. Another interpretation of Shmuel ben Nachmeni, he says, Mikol HaBayis Kula Hirich Rebech Keteres. In the entire Beis HaMikdash, the temple complex, they would smell the aroma of the incense, which was burned in the Beis HaMikdash and had a very strong smell, went even to Yerichai. But Misham Hirich Rebech Avam, over there, which they knew that must be the place of the Mizbeach, they smelled the aroma of the limbs, which were burnt over there on top of the Mizbeach. That's how they knew that was the place. Another interpretation of Rabbi Baruchanam Rabbi Yechanan says, Shleish Nevi'im Olu Imam Nagoyla. There were three prophets, that of Chagi Zechari Malachi, from the last of the prophets, which were part of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, that came up with them from the diaspora, from the Golas of Babel. Echad Sheheid Lehem Al Mizbeach. One of them testified for them regarding the Mizbeach, which was said in the top of the summit from the previous staff, that it could be added on up until a dimension of 60 amas. The Echad Sheheid Lehem Al Mokam Mizbeach, which tells us, you're right, it required prophecy to know where exactly was the place of the Mizbeach. And the Echad Sheheilem Shemakriv Naaf B'Shem Bayis, and the third one testified that the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash was not only a temporary sanctity, but it was for all time. And therefore, even if there's no temple around, they were able to sacrifice even before the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. A different version of Masnita Tana, and the Braisa was taught that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, he says, Shleish Nevi'im Olu Imam Min HaGoyla. Yeah, there were three prophets that came up with them from the exile. Echad Sheheilem Al Mizbeach Va'al Mokam Mizbeach. According to this version, that one prophet told them both the dimensions of the Mizbeach and the place of the Mizbeach. Ve'echad Sheheilem Shemakrivim Av B'Shem Bayis, and the second one testified that they could sacrifice even if there's no temple that's built, because the sanctity is still there. And the third one, Ve'echad Sheheilem Al Torah Shetikasim Ashuris, that the Torah should be written with the Ksav Ashuri, which is initially, when the Torah was given to them, it was given to them with Ksav Ivri, which is the script of Libina, as the Gemara says, then, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash by Ezra, then they changed it into the lettering of Ashuri, which we have in our Sefer Torah. That was from the prophecy of the third prophet. Continuing on these halachas regarding the Mizbeach, Tana Rabbanan Braisa, the Keren, which is the corner, on the shaped like a shofar, there on the corner of a horn, on the four corners of the Mizbeach, the kevish and the ramp that goes up to the altar, to the top of the altar, the yisoid and that foundation on the bottom of the mizbeach, the ribua, that is if the mizbeach was not squared, all these things are ma'akvin, they're all are integral for the validity of the mizbeach. Whereas midas arkay, the measurement of its length, or midas rachmi, the measurement of its width, or midas kamasa, the measurement of its height, ma'akvin, those things are not integral. If they're not exactly the dimension that it says in the Torah, it's still going to be valid. Says the Gemara, where do we know this from? So Amar Avun, he says, because Amar Krah, the Pasuk says in the Yikra regarding those things that we said that they're Ma'akim, it says, HaMizbech, the altar. Kalmakim Shnema HaMizbech, wherever it says, the altar, is La'akiv, is that it's going to be integral. Because the word, the Mizbech, sounds like, the one, as it is. And if not, then it's not valid. Now, by the corners, it says, Amyikra Dal, Karnais HaMizbech. By the Yisoid, it says, El Yisoid HaMizbech. By the ramp, it says, El Penei HaMizbech. Now, that's referring to, when it says the face of the Mizbech, it refers to the ramp. Because that's the face of the altar, because that's the way you come into, that's where you go up onto the top from. In other words, just like we say that the eastern side of the Azara is Penei Oil Mayid, is the face of the Oil Mayid, because that's where you come in from. So therefore, Penei HaMizbech refers to the Kevish. It also says HaMizbech. And by regarding being squared, it says, Revuayia HaMizbech. So therefore, we know that these things are Ma'akav. And that has to get more. If that's the case, Elamiato, Kiyur L'Rebbe, V'Saiviv L'Rebbe Yisabel Yehuda, where, as we're going to explain shortly what these things are, it says regarding them the word HaMizbeach. So, Hachanami de Ma'akav, you're going to say that, let's say, according to Rebbe, which, as we're going to shortly explain, Kiyur means making these graven images of like flowers and different addendums and curtains that are around the Mizbeach. Because the word, although he used the word kir, which generally one would translate as the washing basin, the word kir is actually, if you find the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah, side of a kairoi. Kairoi is a type of engraving. So you're going to tell me that according to these two interpretations, that however you translate the word saiviv, as we're going to explain shortly, that the karkiv actually is a machlekes. According to one, it means kir, which are these engravings. According to one, it means the saiviv. That hachanamid ma'akiv, that according to them it's going to be ma'akiv, because the chsiv, the pasuk says in Shemayis, says v'nesata oisa tachas karkav hamizbech malmati, you should place it, this other element that we're going to speak about from the mizbech, you should put it beneath the karkav of the mizbech downward. Now, by the time Linda Bryce says, izehu karkav, what is this karkav that it refers to in the mizbech in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rabbi Aimi says zekir, which means to these images that are around, surrounding the upper part of the Mizbeach, a little bit higher than the middle point of the Mizbeach, with these engravings all around. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, Zeha Saiviv, which essentially, as we're going to shortly see, there was no extended outer part like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. It just means there was something that was a band that was surrounding. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no engravings. According to Rebbe, there was the same idea, but just there were engravings on them. But one thing is that these are two different interpretations in the Karkiv. Now, regarding the Karkiv, it says HaMizbeach. So if you're saying the word Mizbech, HaMizbech is Ma'akiv, so then these things, according to either interpretation, should be Ma'akiv. So the Gemara, yes, they are Ma'akiv. The time, like the Braisa, that the Gemara brings a story, Eise HaYayim, that day, where there was a Tzeduki, who the Sadducees did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peor, at least they claimed that, where there was a Kain, there was a Tzeduki that poured the Nisachim of the water libations on Sukkos, and he poured it on his feet instead of in the right place where it's supposed to go, and the whole people stoned him, as the Gemara says in Sukkot of Memches Mabez. On that day, Nifkamo Karen Mizbeach. So when the people were stoning him, they were throwing things at him. So the corner of the Mizbeach became deficient. It wasn't perfect anymore. It got ruined. Veheviu Bul Shamelach. Now, so they brought a fistful of salt. Besasmuhu. And so therefore that closed up the hole that was made by the dents, by the things that they threw at him. Now, and that says the Braisa, B'leibim Nesha Kosha L'Avoida. And it's not because by filling it up with salt that's going to validate the Avoida of doing the Mizbeach, as long as the Karen is really still deficient, as the Braisa continues, Elishle Yirim Mizbeach Pogim. It's just that it shouldn't have that, it just appears unsightly that the Mizbeach is deficient. But the truth is, they couldn't continue doing the Avoida until it was fixed. Shekol Mizbeach, She'inli Karen, V'kevish, V'yosoid, V'ribua, Pasel. Any Mizbeach does not have the corner, which was pogum over there, or a ramp, or the foundation, or being a square, it's invalid. And Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he adds on, af ha-saiviv, also the saiviv, which is this band that goes around. Now, from Rabbi Yehuda, we could understand that Rebbe, who he disagrees in the interpretation of karkiv, would be the same thing, that the kir, those engravings all around, are going to be ma'akiv. And yes, because it says ha-mizbeach. Now, continuing on this halacha, regarding the definition of this karkiv, turn about Luna Braisa. Izehu karkiv, what is this karkiv? Now, the Gemara assumes initially that the karkiv, when the Brice is defined, the karkiv is going on the karkiv that it says in the pasuk. Now, the word karkiv itself means to say something that is surrounding with, it's an indentation all around. So says the Braisa, it's being Karen Li Karen. It was, there was an Amma wide area that was, would go from the four corners of the Mizbeach, one to the other, in a square, which had a depth of depression, which was a little bit pushed in, a little bit lower than the rest of the surface of the altar, which went around the perimeter of the Mizbeach. Now, which was Makam Hiluch Ragli Kanam Amma, which was a place, the reason for this was so that it could have a safe spot where the Kanam could walk the width of an Amma. Which sounds like now, that this point of the Gemara, sounds like explaining the Braisa, that that was where the Kanam would walk. And that is the Gemara, Atra Kahanim Ben Karen LeKaren HaVa'azli. What do you think, the Kahanim would walk between the Karanis? But then when he reaches the Karen, you need to be able to walk around the Mizbech to do that Voidah on the Maracha. If he's walking around from Karen, the Karen itself is takes up that corner of the Mizbech, that's going to get in his way himself. So how do you expect him to walk around the perimeter that way? So Ela'ema rather says the Gemara, what it means to say is that it was Ben Karen LeKaren, there was this depression in the ground between the corners, and Umakim Hilich Ragli Kanamama, and the place where the Kanam would walk, Anama. So this depression was all around the area of the Maracha, from the Maracha, going to the edge of the Mizbech all around. And that was the area where he could walk around the Maracha, which was the fire in the Mizbech, which was, yeah, it was a depressed area by a width of two Amas. You had the Amma between the Kronis, and that's not where the Kanam walked, and in Amma, where the Kanam could walk all around, that was a depression of an Amma. Now the Gemara asks, relating back to what we said before, but it says in the Pasuk in Shemayis, when it talks about the Michbar, which we're going to explain shortly, is some type of copper lattice work where they would place it, says the Pasuk, Tachas Karkuvay, that should be beneath the Karkiv on the Mizbeach, Milmata going down Ad Chetzi until the midpoint of the Mizbeach, where then this michbar would surrounded the middle part of the mizbeach going up, which was some type of like a netting made out of copper, would had all these holes similar to a net that catches fish, and it went up until it came right beneath the karkiv. But one thing we see is that the karkiv was on the wall of the mizbeach going all around, because if it's on the top of the mizbeach like the Braisa is making it sound like, where the Kahan would walk on, so then how are you saying that the Michbar was beneath it, going all around the wall, beneath the Karkiv, if the Karkiv is on the top of the Mizbech, not on the side of the Mizbech going all around? So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak explains that actually Trehava, there actually were two different Karkivs. There were these two circular elements in the Mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Chad Lidnoi, one was for beauty, which was around the wall of the Mizbeach, which by a height of 6 Amos, according to Rabbi Yisi, which we explained previously that not from the Testament base, he holds the Mizbeach was 10 Amos high. So when it was 6 Amos high, so there was a small little protrusion going around, circling around for beauty, that was called the Saivev in the times of the second base, in the times of the base of Migdash, and also called this Kir, which is the Machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda that we mentioned before, which was it just plain? Was it also had these engravings? Now beneath that Saiviv that went around, that's where they had this Michbar, which then that width went all the way down till the middle of Mizbech, and the reason why it ended there by the middle of Mizbech was that should be a sign to separate between the upper bloods and the lower bloods, as the Gemara said in Ezim Ukaiman, Defnet Gimel and Aleph. From this pasuk, we learn that the Torah is differentiating between the top and the bottom, because certain karbanos were put on the top, and certain bloods of the karbanos were put on the bottom. V'chad l'kahanim, and there's another karkiv, which is something totally different, which is what the Braisa was talking about, not what this machlekes we had before of Rebbe and Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda. They were talking about the one on the wall. The Braisa is talking about one for Kahanim, Delay Nishtarku, which was just that on the top of the Mizbeach, they made the depression going all around the Maracha, which was something that just depression a little bit, so that there should be a little bit height, like a little bit like wall all around where he's walking, so that he shouldn't slip. That was a different halacha. The Karkiv that we said that was Ma'akiv was on the side, which Machlekes Rebbe and Yisrael Yehuda, that was one type of Karkiv. A different Karkiv, which was not Ma'akiv, was on the top of the Mizbeach. That's what the Braisa was talking about, again, because Karkiv just means an area that goes around in a circle that either is pushed out a little bit or pushed in a little bit. Now, continuing on the Braisa said, Midas Arkai, or Midas Rachboi, Midas Kremasa e Ma'akvin, the dimensions of the length, the width, or the height, that's not Ma'akiv. So Amr Mani, he qualifies, however, and he says, as long as, however, that it's not less than the dimensions of the altar that Moshe Rabbeinu made. On that, asked the Gemara, how much was that? So Amr Abisir says, it was an Amma. So machkele, they scoffed, they laughed at Rav Yosef. The pasuk says, "Chamesh amis oirech, v'chamesh amis reichiv." The length and the width are 5 amis. Revui yemizbech, that it should be squared. So how can you say it was an amma when it's 5 by 5? So Amalei Abaya said to Rav Yosef, "Dilma makam aracha kamamar." Maybe the master of Yosef, what you were talking about was the area of the fire itself, which was an amma. Because if one discounts the area between the kronis and the place where the kahan would walk, that takes away an amma on either side for both, which is 2 ammas on each side, for total taking away of 4 ammas all the way, you only have an amma squared in the middle. And therefore, that's what you were talking about. Yeah, I mean, it has to be the dimensions of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech, but you were just mentioning the Marachah's measurement. Adam Alei, Rav Yosef said to Abaya, "Mar, the Gavu Rabbahu, you, the master Abaya, who you're a great person, you're the my kamina, you knew what I was saying, you didn't laugh at me, you realized I was referring to the Malkam HaMaracha." Akari Alayu, he's recited regarding the ones who laughed at him as a Ketintam and Beis, B'nei Keturah, he called them the sons of Keturah, meaning, although you're from the sons of Avram, who Keturah was the other wife of Avram, but you're not from the sons of Yitzchak and Yaakov, there's something missing in your understanding of the Torah. Similarly, Bnei Achsid Reb Tarfon, the nephews, the sons of the sister of Reb Tarfon, Habiyasvi Kamed Reb Tarfon, they were sitting in front of Reb Tarfon, and they weren't saying anything. So Pasach V'Amar, so Reb Tarfon opened up and he said, so to get them to talk, he quoted a Pasach, V'Yesif Avram V'Yikach Isha B'Shma Yechani, that Avram went and he added, and he took a wife, and her name was Yechani, meaning besides, after Sarah was Nifti, he went and took a different wife. Now, he said something totally random, because the wife was not Yechani, but he just wanted to get them to talk and respond. So Amr Levi said to him, Keturah Ksiv, it says her name was Keturah, how could you call her Yechani? So Kari Aleim, he said, regarding them, B'nei Keturah. Yeah, because you're also the sons of Keturah. In other words, you don't know how to speak in halacha. Now, continuing on this halacha of the Makam HaMaracha that was in Amma squared, Amma Abaya Barhuna, Amr Rav Chama Barguria, it says, Gezirin Sha'asa Moshe, the firewood that Moshe Rabbeinu made, where there was halacha that 2 pieces of wood had to be organized on the top of the Mizbeach, on the Maracha, for the Tamid Shal Shachar in the morning by 1 kohen, and by the Tamid Shal Ben Abayim, the daily offering in the evening was by 2 kohen, as the Gemara says, Masech Lashtum and Avchavav Mabez. So on that he says, Urkan Amma V'Rach Ben Amma. Its length was an Amma, its width was an Amma, which was exactly like the measurement of the Maracha, as we just mentioned. The Avyon and its thickness was Kamachak, was like this tool called a level, that's used to be geidish sa, that takes away the excess of a sa, because one has to smooth out the measurement when one is buying dry grain. That's how the thickness was of this wood. Now, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, he qualifies, and he says that, although it's an amma squared, the firewood, but it's amma geduma, but it was the shorter types of ammas. There's different types of ammas. Are they 5 tvachim, 6 tvachim? There's different types of measurements. So it was the smaller types of ammas so that it shouldn't stick out of the maracha, and then we get in the way of the kahanim or walking all around. Like we said, the amma right around the maracha is where the kahanim would walk. However, on that, Rabbi Yosef, he asks, and he says, why do you say that? Valav hayin the detanya, but isn't it what it learned in the brisa that the pasuk says, the miyikra, Alo eitzim, asher alo eish, asher alo mizbech, that you would put the carbon on the wood that's on the fire, that's on the mizbech. What does that teach? Shleyu eitzim yitzim in the mizbech klum, that the wood should not stick out of the altar at all. But what essentially Rav Yosef is asking is, why do you need to say it's amma geduma, the small ammas? No, you can make it exactly the amma of a regular amma, let's say even the 6th tefachim amma, but just make it exact. And therefore, it doesn't have to be any smaller, just put it in the right place, and then it won't be sticking out. Continuing on the halachas of the Mizbeach, Tznan Hasim, learned within Mishnah Masechtas Midas. Kevesh hayu ledrei mishal Mizbeach, the ramp was to the southern side of the Mizbeach. Eirech shleishim mishtaim, its length was 32 amas. Al reichiv shesh esri, by a width of 16 amas. Says the Gemara, but not immediately, where do we know that the ramp was in the south? As we know, when one would walk into the base of Migdash, to the Azar, it was from east to west, on his right was the north, on his left was the south, and Mizbeach was perpendicular, where you would come onto the ramp going from the south to the north, and that means the ramp was on the southern side. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? So Rav Huni says, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'yikra b'shachat oisei al yarech Mizbeach, you should slaughter it, which includes all the kachim, on the side of the Mizbeach, Tzafayna, which is on the northern side. What does that teach? Sheyehe yarech, that the yerech, when they call yerech the side, but it used the terminology of the thigh, it's talking about the feet, where if one would picture a person laying on the ground, that his feet are bitzafen, it's saying that it's calling the northern side the yerech of the mizbeach, the feet of the mizbeach, which is on the bottom, the edge of the mizbeach, which is in the north. Comes out that the head, which is the opposite end of the person laying on the ground, upana bedarm, that means his face, is in the south. So the kevish, which is the face, is in the south. And that is the Gemara. Why do you say that? Eime yerech b'tzafen, upana b'tzafen. Maybe say that the feet are in the north and the face is also in the north. Like a person who's sitting straight up, where his face is facing the same direction as his feet. Amar Rava, Rava says, no, Rami Gavra Ape. You put the person on his face, meaning you measure, you estimate regarding like how a person is laying down on the ground. On that Amalei Abaye said to him, why? Ad Rava, to the contrary. Torah Tzva'isav Gavra. Straighten up and sit him up, straight up, comes out that his head and his feet are facing the same direction. So how do you know? Maybe the Kevish is on the north, not on the south. Amalei, so Rava said to him, no, Ravu Aksiv. It says Ravu, and it describes the Mizbeach with the word Ravua. Could also mean like the word of ravitz, of laying down. So you have to measure like a person laying down. So therefore the head is in the opposite direction of the feet. On that asked Abaye, but vamibayalei, but you need that word revua, demirab revua. You need it to teach a different halacha that the mizbeach has to be squared and not round. How can you use it to define that it's laying down? On that says Rava Miksiv Meruba, does it say squared? Which it normally should say, it says revua. On that says Abaye, balotamech, according to your reasoning, Miksiv Ravitz, does it say laying down? So it doesn't say meruba, but it doesn't say ravitz. On that Amalei, Rava said to him, you're right. Revua, except why is it saying this intermediate terminology of revua? The mashmahachi, or mashmahachi, where you could understand, it sounds like it could mean both, and therefore you actually learn that both of them, because it was only saying squared, it should say meruba. If it was only saying laying down, it should say ravitz. It says ribua to say both laying down, and that it should be squared. Now, says the Gemara, Betana, the Tana of the Braisa, Maislot brings this halacha of Rav Huna, where he brought it from the Yerech HaMizbeach to show that the Kevish was on the ramp was on the south, the Tana brings in Mehacha from a different source. The Tana, then the Brais of Yudaim, he says, there's a pasuk regarding the Mizbeach that says, by Yecheskel, and it says that you should place the ramp, Umaloy Sehu, and its elevation, in the direction where it's fit to be Panois Kodem, where you'll be turning towards the east, which is that you'll be turning towards the right. What does that teach? Because kolpina sha'atapaina, any turn that you turn, lo yir el derech yamin lamizuch, should only be towards the right, towards the east. Now, there is no direction that's appropriate to be turning to the right that's going to be to the east, but the south. The south, if one is coming from the south, then if one's turning to the right, he'll be turning towards the east. Now, on that as the Gemara, but how do you see this? Ve'im esmoy lamizuch. Maybe say that actually you'll be turning to the left, to the east. In other words, from this pasuk, all you see is that when you're coming up from the ramp, you'll be turning towards the east. But it doesn't say that it should be towards the right. And therefore, maybe put it in the north. When you come to the top of the Mizbeach, yeah, you'll turn to the northeastern corner, but it'll be from the left, not from the right. And that's the Gemara, Leisa Gedaitech. No, you cannot entertain to say that you'll be turning to the left. It has to be towards the right. And if we're turning to the right, and it's going to be to the east, like we learned from the combination of the two psukim that we're going to bring, must be that we're coming up from the south on the ramp. The Tan Rami by Yechezkiah, he says, Yam Sha'asa Shlema, the pool that Shlema Melech made, was Oymir Ashneim Aser Baka, was standing on 12 cattle. And he was graven images, these cows, these cattle, where it was the pool was on that on those 12 cattle. Shleisha Painim Tzafaina, that it was on the backs of these animals, where they were facing outward, and the pool was in the middle of these animals. So three of them were facing Tzafayna to the north, Ushleisha Painim Yama, and three were facing towards the west, Ushleisha Painim Negba, and three were facing towards the south, Ushleisha Painim Mizracha, and three were facing towards the east, which is basically for a total of 12, three in either direction. But what you see from the pasuk, says the Gemara, is called Pina Shata Paina, any time you're turning somewhere, layu el derech yamin should only be towards the right, because when one goes through the pasuk, you see that it's going counterclockwise towards the right, from north to west, from west to south. And when you're going around something and you're facing it and you're going from north to west, then you're going towards your right. So therefore, you see that it should always be towards the right and lemizrach. Now, as Rashi points out, from this pasuk, you don't see that it should be towards the east. All you see from this pasuk is answering the question we had before, that it has to be towards the right. The previous pasuk is what told us it has to go towards the east, which is that, but the total of that is telling us that you shouldn't go towards the right, towards the west, and that the ram should be in the north. From these two psukim, you learn out, from the previous pasuk, we learned that it should be towards the east, because it says Panais Kadam. And here we're saying that it should be towards the right. When you're coming up a ramp and it's going towards, and you're going towards the east and it's on your right, must be you're coming up from the south. Now, however, the Gemara asked on this last source, "Hahumi b'ayli legufe." But this pasuk you need to teach just exactly the dimensions and the perimeter of the pool that Shlomo Melech made. How do you know to learn from it to teach that whenever you're turning in the direction on the base of Mikdash, including going up the ramp to the Mizbeach, regarding doing the Avodah, means you have to go towards the right? Says the Gemara, because Imkain, if it's only teaching us the dimensions of the pool that Shlomo Melech made, painim anomaly. Why does it say every time the word turn? Obviously, it's teaching us that whenever you're turning, you're going to the right, and that in the element of the Mizbeach is counterclockwise, so therefore it's extra to teach us this idea. And that's how we know that the Mizbeach was in the south. Shal Reb Shimon ben Yosi ben Lukunyas Reb Yosi. Continue on these halachas of the Mizbeach and the ramp. So he asked Reb Yosi, Oymahoy Reb Shimon ben Yosi, did Reb Shimon ben Yosi say, Aver Yesh ben Kevish l'mizbeach, that there was an airspace between the ramp and the altar, meaning one would come up the ramp, as one could see some Gemaras have on the bottom left of the Gemara, which relates to a Gemara later on, that the top of the ramp didn't actually touch the altar. There was actually a little space between them. Did Reb Shimon b'Chai really say that halacha? So Malais Reb Yisi said to him, Va'ati iyatay mekim, what, and you don't say that? But the pasuk says in Devarim, "Vasisa ilisecha abas v'adam." You should do your karbanas ayla. You should sacrifice the meat and the blood on the mizbeach of Hashem your God. Meaning, the blood should be poured on the mizbeach, and the meat is consumed. Now, what does this teach? What's the comparison of habas of hadam? Tells you, madam, just like the blood of a karban ayla, that the person, the kohen, stands on the ground and he throws it bezrika with a throwing from the vest, like the pasuk says, "Vezarkai." Abbasar Bezrika teaches us that the meat also has to be thrown, obviously because there's an airspace, and because there's a gap where between the ramp, which way how we bring up the limbs of the carbon oil, the Mizbeach, you have to throw it because he would stand on the ramp and throw it to the other side onto the fire of the Mizbeach. On that Amalai, so on that Reb Shimon ben Yosi ben Lukunya said to Reb Yosi, I don't think that's a proof. I say, yeah, Oymid Bitzad Maracha. He could be standing on the top of the Mizbeach, not because it's a gap. He went from the ramp onto the Mizbeach, and he's standing on the side of the fire, and Vizarik, and he throws it. And that's what you need the pasuk for, just to say you have to throw it. But not because there's a gap between the ramp and the Mizbeach. And that Omaloi, and that Rabbi Yisi said to him, for that, why would I need a pasuk? Obviously, because for sure you have to throw it. Because Kishuhu Zarik, when he's throwing the limbs onto the fire, Lamarucha Delukuhu Zarik, is he throwing onto the part of the on the pyre that's flaming, or is he throwing onto a pyre onto a pile of wood that's not burning? Obviously, obviously he's throwing onto a part that's full of fire, and he can't just put it around the tip, the perimeter of the wood where the fire is not burning over there, because it's not going to get consumed. Obviously, he has to throw it where the fire is burning. Therefore, of course, we would know you have to throw it because you can't put it on. You would get burned. So obviously, for that throwing, we don't need a pasuk. So if the Torah is telling us, like by blood you throw it, so to meat you throw it, obviously it's teaching us the halacha, because you actually take it from the kevesh. You have to throw it because simply there's a gap that you can't go over. Then you have to throw it between the ramp and the mizbeach. Another source for this halacha, Rav Papa Ami, says, no, you cannot say the comparison between the blood and the meat of the carbon oila is coming to tell us that, like Shimon ben Yosi ben Lukunya wanted to reject and say, no, maybe there's no gap, maybe just standing right next to the marach and throwing it. And that, he says, you can't say that he's on the marach. You have to say he's on the ramp and throwing it over, because there has to be a gap of ear space of the ground of the Azara between where he's throwing it and to where it's going onto the fire of the Mizbeach. Because Kidam, the Pasuk is equating it like the blood of the Eila. Now, Madam Aver Karka, just like the blood, when it's being thrown, you have the air space of the ground of the floor of the Azara, that's Mavsika, that separates between him and the Mizbeach, because he's standing on the floor when he does the Zrik of the Dam. So Abbas is teaching us the same thing regarding the meat. Aver karka mafsik, you need to have the space of the ground of the Azara separating, and therefore that's a clear source, Tribshim bin Yechai, that there has to be a gap between the Kevish and the Mizbeach. When you're throwing it, it has to go over the airspace to the ground, which was between that little gap between the ramp and the altar. Now, continuing on this halacha of the ramps and the Mizbeach, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Shnei kevashim ketanim yitzim min ha-kevish. There were these two small minor ramps that were coming out of the main ramp, Shebehen, that with these two ramps, Painin li yisayid ulesayvim, were used to go down to the yisayid, which was this protrusion that went around the higher part of the Mizbeach, and to the Saiviv, which the yisayid, which was on the bottom, and the Saiviv, which was this part that went around on the side, meaning the minor ramp that was used to get to the Seviv came out from the right side, which was the eastern side of the ramp to the right, which it was used on the lower part of the ramp. It went up on an incline till one got up to the Seviv. Now, when one is coming to down to the Yisoid, to when he's going down on the western side of the ramp, there was the other minor ramp was on the left side, which was to pour the leftovers of the blood of the Karban Chatos. When he's coming down from the Mizbeach, which actually was from the Seviv, and then he would cross over the large ramp, so then he would go down to the left side, to the Yisoid Deraimi, which was on the left side of the Mizbeach, and so that he would go down on the really lower part of the Kebesh, which was further away from the Mizbeach, so that it could be easy to go down to the Yisoid right there instead of going down the whole ramp and coming around to the side. There would be these two ramps. Now, however, regarding these two ramps, Umevdalim and the Mizbeach Malenim, although they both connected, these two ramps, to the Mizbeach, one to the Yisoid of the Mizbeach, one to the Seiv of the Mizbeach, but they were separated from the altar a hair's breadth. Mishum Shanem HaSaviv, because the Pasuk tells us that the perimeter of the Mizbeach has to be Saviv, meaning going all around. Now, if these two minor ramps were connected, then you don't have that you could use a string to go all the way around. You wouldn't be able to encircle it because there would be something in the way, the connecting of these two minor ramps. And therefore, Saviv tells us that it has to be all the way around. The Mizbeach can't be anything connected to it. Another source, Rebbe Vohm, or he says Revua. The Pasuk says that the Mizbeach has to be squared. Now, if it was connected, then the construction wouldn't be squared because it would have these protrusions that are adding on to the dimensions. And says the Gemara, Itzach lemichtav Saviv, Itzach lemichtav Revua. We needed these two sources, although they're seemingly telling us the same halacha, and no other part of construction could be attached to it, meaning these two ramps, but you need them both. Because the Ikas of Rahman the Saviv had the Torah only said all around Havamin and the Agal Ma'agal. I would think that it has to be all the way around, but it could be round, and that it wouldn't have any corners. But yeah, nothing could be attached to it. Kaz Rahman the Revu, that's what Torah had to say, squared, that has to have corners. The Ikas of Rahman the Revu, had we only said squared, which actually doesn't mean squared, but it means it has to have corners, four corners, Havamin and the Arch of a cotton. So I would think to say, but then it could be rectangular, it could be long and narrow, which you could have the length more than the width, but it will have four corners. That's what it says all around, meaning that all the sides have to be equal in dimensions, which is what we call a square. You only know that from these two psukim, and although they're both also teaching us that nothing can be attached to it, you still need both psukim to teach regarding the halacha of the mizbeach. That's not awesome. Continue on these halachas. We learn over in Mishnah Masechtas Midas. It says a kevesh v'mizbeach shishim shtaim. The total length of the ramp and the mizbeach of the altar was a length of 62 amas. That is Gemara. Hani shitim barbahavo. What do you mean? It should be a length of 64 amas because we learned in the previous Mishnah that the length of the ramp was 32 amas, and so did the length of the mizbeach was 32. Anyone who knows math knows that that's 64 and not 62. Says the Gemara, the answer is, Nimtzer comes out, as we just mentioned before, that the top of the ramp, it came all the way right till the end of the Mizbeach. Now, if that's the case, Pireach Amma al Yisoid v'Amma al Seiviv. That means it was hovering over the Yisoid, and which was an Amma, and the Seiviv, which was an Amma, until it got to the top of the Mizbeach. So it comes out that the two outer Amas of the Mizbeach were covered by the two upper Amas of the ramp, which was subsumed in that perimeter, in that area of the Kevesh, because the Kevesh came to the top of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, however, had an Amma Yisoid and an Amma Seiviv sticking out, which were protrusions, and then you had a smaller dimension of the top of the Mizbeach. So those two Ammas are not being counted in the sum total because they were overlapping those two Ammas, so therefore it was for a total of 62 Ammas. Concluding these halachas on the Tabas Samach Gimel Man Aleph, on Rambam Bachami says, Kol Kivshei Kvashim, all the ramps that were there, whether the big ones or the small ones, had an incline of shalish amas la'ama. For every three amas that it went in length, it had an ama of height. Chutz mikivshe shemizbech, except for the main ramp of the altar. Now, the reason why it was different over there, because they would carry heavy limbs going up to the top of the mizbech, and it was smooth. So it had to have a longer, not as a steep incline, so that it could be easier for them to walk up that ramp. So therefore, they lengthened the dimensions, and there was the incline of 32. It was a length of 32 amas for a height of 9 amas, and therefore that comes out that shahaya, that for every amma in height, there was shalish amas, but it was more. It normally was 3 amas. Here was 3 amas umechza and another half a amma. the etzba and a finger breadth, the shlish etzba and a third of a finger breadth. Because if one calculates that for every amah, there was 3.5, so like we said, for every amah, there was for every amah height, there was a length of 3.5 amahs, so that comes out that there was 31.5. Then you calculate another 10 finger breadths and 9/3 of a finger breadth, because we're talking about for every amah. So that comes out for a total of 12 finger breadths, which are for a total of 3 tvachim, which is a half amah. So together with the 31.5, you add on another half, that makes for a total of 32 amahs. And as the Gemara qualifies, we're talking about bezachrusa. When we're talking about the finger breadth, we're talking about the width of the joint of the thumb, because the width of a finger breadth, depending on which finger is depending how wide, that comes out for a total of, if one calculates the 32 amahs with a height of 9 amahs, that's going to be not a ratio of 3:1, but rather it's going to be, as we said, 3.5 and a finger breadth and a third of a finger breadth for each amah, which for total comes out, if one calculates it, for 32 amahs for a height of 9 amahs. And again, that was because they were carrying heavy things on the smooth surface. They had to make it not so steep so that they don't fall.